Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 71 of season 2. Jeff DeLow, Ken Jack, Chris Castellani, Gooch. Coming at you on a beginning of the week podcast where we're talking TV and movies today. Because a very cinematic show was just released on HBO. One that you can tell they are going to be really leaning heavy on. Big time promotion. Big time
Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yep.
No. Sex Lives of College Girls.
A pretty impressive amount of hype in the midst of NFL games last night too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is always, that's a kind of a, I mean, the NFL is usually 80 to 90 out of the top 100 watch shows every year. So if you can break through on NFL playoff Sundays, that usually means you're making somewhat of a cultural impact. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll talk about The Last of Us in a minute, as well as A Man Called Otto, starring Tom Hanks, based on
O-T-T-O.
Based on the novel. Also was a movie from Sweden, which I have seen now. I figured, why not watch
need a double
both?
Review.
And I'll tell you what, they're very different. They're very different movies. And I liked one and I really didn't like the other. Like, I didn't hate one of them, but it's, yeah. We have to talk about. The book is called A Man Called Ove. And the
Ove.
Movie is
Ove. Yeah, they do weird pronunciations there.
Otto is Tom Hanks, and I don't wanna I'm gonna unfortunately cuck Gooch here. This should have been on streaming. I just gotta say that just right off.
Yeah.
It's a streaming movie. This is like,
oh my God.
This is a movie that does that has like, it just, this is a movie that should be on Apple TV Plus with the rest. His other movies that he released on Apple TV Plus, now granted those were pandemic movies, those were more cinematic. Greyhound.
Greyhound, that's solid.
Finch, like even that, like I, like, yeah. That was more of a, yeah. So we'll talk Ove, 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 Otto. Did not read the book, sorry. also, we are recording before the Mandalorian trailer comes out during Monday night. Also, no need to talk about football for many reasons. But
Hold up. I think we should.
Nah, you don't get seniority. You don't get to talk about
I just did a full fucking rundown venting about the Chargers. I don't think I can do it again.
We're just not gonna talk about football. But Monday Night Football, Mandalorian trailer. If it's notable, we'll talk about it. Mandalorian marketing, especially compared to like the Obi-Wans and Boba Fett, has always been so reserved. So I don't know if we're really going to see anything.
I think especially with it being season 3, they know it's kind of like the Avengers Endgame principle where it's like, right, we know what we have. I mean, do we really need to, you know, put all our chips into the center of the table? Anyone who's excited for this is going to watch it.
I just know it gets Gooch going because there's nothing like making the nerds watch football.
It's so funny.
The top comment, one of the top comments on the Star Wars Leaks Reddit is someone who's not from this country, obviously, and because it says like, they're like, hold on, what is Super Wild Card Monday Football?
Yes,
it sounds like a film, very
disgusting film. Put that tweet out, and I was like, "What a bunch of theater nerds over there!" Oh. Fucking, they're like ESPN Super NFL Wild Card Weekend Monday Night Football.
they put every single word in it.
I know their dad hates them,
but. Things that did happen. We'll do a clue. I guess the Golden Globes were on TV, so we'll talk about that. It seems like a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, it was a week ago.
No one cares. Fuck the Globes. We haven't
talked about the Globes since then. Also, Critics' Choice Awards, that's an award show. I never like
that is. You can't take that away from them. That is an award show.
That is. I Critics' Choice seems like something that is like. Critics' Choice feels like it's the sibling of People's Choice, but it doesn't want you to know that it's related to People's Choice.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they could easily have like a slime type deal going on, but they act like fancy. It's like it's like a dressed up pig, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Like no, we're not related. Globes didn't have anything crazy. The Globes also, the Globes is never really a great indicator for the big awards.
Anything. No.
Especially with the fact that Brendan Fraser was essentially not – basically wasn't nominated. He was, but he really wasn't. They were never going to let him win. You can go look up Brendan Fraser in the Globes, like fairly –
They sexually assaulted him. He told them they didn't do anything. There's the story.
Yeah. So he wasn't really considered like a serious candidate because they were never really going to give him the award because they were already trying – the Globes was weird because it was them trying very hard to make people think that they feel sorry about everything they've done.
Dude,
it was just weird.
Jared Carmichael did a terrible job. I don't have anything against the guy, but that was not good.
It's a weird choice. Okay, is he – I felt this way about the people they got to host the Oscars last year too. Is he famous enough to be doing that?
I saw someone tweet something to the effect of this guy is getting all the applause and accolades and like aspiration that you're all giving to Chappelle. Basically, he was basically saying like this guy's better than Chappelle. Like all the goodwill that you guys have for Chappelle should go towards him.
It's like, he had a show that lasted like 5 seconds. he's a funny guy. I've seen his. I remember back when I was in high school, I went to see Daniel Tosh do stand up, and he opened for him, and I thought he was pretty funny. But that was weird to me. It's like
they really wanted him to do a Ricky Gervais too. They were like, go up there.
Yes.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
When he pulled out that Scientology joke, like on Tom Cruise.
Which,
that was
another thing. Top Gun could not be taken seriously with the Globes either because Tom Cruise gave all of his Globes back in protest. So they don't like him either. So the Globes was weird in that sense.
Ooh, didn't know this. Carmichael was in Transformers The Last Night as Jimmy, the role we all know and love. Good for him.
Was that? I take it that was a voice.
Second movie we ever reviewed. That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
did it twice,
and we twice because it got lost. Yeah,
recorded twice. There's one notable thing from the Globes, and Brendan Fraser won Critics' Choice. Very good speech. There's a couple. There's a lot of like little things here and there that you could. Kiwi Kwan is probably going to win Best Supporting Actor. That seems like a lot in the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Some of the other ones you don't know. Blanchett seems like the favorite. There's going to be things that kind of go up and down. We're not sure who's going to win yet. Award season just kicking off. But Elvis is going to pick up a lot of fucking steam. And it is picking up a lot of steam. Austin Butler won. He did the Elvis voice on stage, which fucking ruled so hard. That was amazing.
He can't
His face
stop.
When he lost. When he lost to Frasier in the Critics' Choice Award, did you see his face?
No, I did not see it.
He was pissed. Well, he was pissed he lost to fucking Fraser.
Well, that man's wearing a fat suit. I'll try to wear a fat suit, play old Elvis.
He did. He had the big ass chin. Stupid.
He sounds so ridiculous. He sounds just like Elvis, but he's from Anaheim.
It's crazy. it is crazy. But it does seem like that movie is going to pick up a shitload of steam going into the Oscars. It's a movie that a lot of... the people who vote for the Oscars and awards, like, will it win a lot? No, but there was somebody who made a comment on, I don't know who it was. It might've been like Dan Merle. Someone on Twitter, a film guy said like, it's going to be a nominations darling. Will it win a lot? I don't know, but it's going to get a fuckload of nominations.
A lot of technical awards, set designs.
Yeah. Like just a lot of random shit. RRR won best song. That was fucking cool. But yeah. Great song. Right now what we're looking at, best picture, it looks like it's going to be, you got – these are the odds right now on Gold Derby in terms of nominations. The one that seemed like a complete lock, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Banshees, yeah. Top Gun Maverick, Tar, Avatar Way of Water, and Elvis. And everything after that is kind of going to be up in the air. Will it be The Whale, Triangle Sadness, will RRR sneak in there? Women Talking, All Quiet. I mean, those are, it's a, the drop off of like what's serious and what isn't is pretty high.
I want to watch Tar RR with Cate Blanchett and the rest of the crew doing full dances moves. I think that would rock.
Oh my gosh,
where's the when you scroll down on Gold Derby, it's like the movies that somebody like hasn't updated their predictions in like months, but they're still on there. Like someone has My Policeman as a nominee for Best Picture.
That movie stunk.
I'll tell you what, you want to talk about a movie that we seem to be, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about with you, Chris, that we seem to not be on the same page. Bones and All.
I still haven't seen it.
Some people love that. Like top movie of the year. Love
it's
that
insane.
Movie.
It's the most aggressively okay movie. It's like, it's just such an okay movie. Like the people are acting like it's fucking like, oh, it's Chalamet. It's like the best movie of the year. It's like, no, it's not. And like their fandom online, their stanship, whatever you want to call it, like they go ballistic for that movie. It's just like, I don't get it.
Dude, do you think there's any overlap with Bones and All community and the Alita Battle Angel community?
Yeah,
no, because the Alita Battle Angel community, they're nothing but good people in there.
Yeah, they're all correct.
That is true.
They're correct.
They're like the happiest fan base I've ever seen. It's like, you know how like Star Wars fans just fucking hate Star Wars and like MCU fans bitch about like castings and all sorts of shit and they all fight with each other on like who's the best character. Not with Alita Battle Angel. They just love everything about that movie. It's for each one of them, it's literally a masterpiece. It's hilarious.
There's that movie. Do you remember that Chalamet movie? I think it was Summer Nights a couple years ago. Where we're like, oh,
the
shit,
one where he plays a drug dealer.
Yeah, and then like it was just okay. It was like the same sort of deal as Bones and All for me. Although Summer Nights was worse.
The RRR fandom also incredibly
very
positive.
Chris is very familiar.
Are they? Made to towards some people.
they don't like Chris. They
no
international movies though that have that big of like I will say you do notice that. That's like any international fandom though.
Dude, yeah. I put out one tweet on Friday night and I was like with like 10 guys drinking, or this is Saturday night, we were watching football and at halftime we're like, you want to flip it over to RRR? We're like just 20 beers on the table and I put up a picture of us all watching RRR. I wake up the next morning, it's going viral in India.
Like, oh hell yeah.
It's become event watch. Like people are doing event watching it. I was like,
now
sure.
That's a comment that I know was from Dan Merle, the film guy on Twitter, you big YouTuber. He said something that I actually really like to hear about that song winning. It's great when a song, and this happens like La La Lands, like Pixar. I like when the song wins and the song was part of the movie. Like that, like I always like.
Not like the closing credits or whatever bullshit.
For Black Panther with Kendrick Lamar and SZA a couple years ago. Great song. I love that song. It was a post credit. It was his credit song. Like it wasn't in the movie.
They like to shoehorn that. Hold My Hand this year is a big one for from Top Gun Maverick, which again, really good, you know, like power ballad song, but it's.
Nominate, by the way, they All the Stars plays, I think, in the casino. So I may get corrected on that.
Yeah,
but. They should nominate the One Republic song when they're playing football. That was
which one was that?
Better find.
I don't remember that one.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember.
I'm gonna play it. We're gonna get dinged. Hold on. I'm gonna play it anyway. You know what the song is. Just one of those mainstream songs.
Too late to apologize. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't think of this as the football song. That's just like the song of the summer. That's the Top Gun Maverick one.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that as a One Republic song.
Yeah, that too. It's a great song. I really like that song.
That's their song.
It's a very catchy song.
Too late to apologize.
Good song.
It's too late.
Great song too.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more on that. Oscar noms are 2 weeks?
What's taking so long?
Hold on.
Well, they moved the Oscars back like last year, right?
Yeah, the Oscars are this year. They're March 12th, 20th. I mean, they're Jesus. It's Selection Sunday. The Oscars are on
Sure that'll go well.
Yeah.
Be a fun time.
So it's the Oscars are the week of the first round of the NCAA tournament. But It looks like nominations are next week. Okay, I thought they were 2 weeks. They're next week. They're the 24th.
It's an interesting choice. I don't know why they do that.
That's a full 2 months out. Yeah, let the schmoozing begin. Anyway, so that's the Oscars. Ant-Man trailer came out. Cool. Kang looks cool. I hope it's awesome because that villain looks like there's a lot of potential. Michael Bay is being charged with killing a pigeon. That seems pretty notable.
Yeah, fucked up, dude.
He definitely got hit by one of the drones.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to charge
underground, remember that movie? It had so many drone shots.
If we're going to charge him for that, what's Sully up to? Can he be retroactively charged for murdering a whole flock of animals?
Yeah.
We're pro animal, but I got to say, only killing one, kind of impressive. Like, just the fact that the only one died with all those drones seems like that is a small victory.
What is a homing pigeon? I don't know what even that
are
means.
Those the ones that they do, like, the carrier pigeon shit with, maybe?
Just, like, military trained.
They were filming John Wick while they were filming that. Just complete.
I forgot about it. Yeah, I rewatched John Wick 2. I forgot about how Lawrence Fishburne uses the carrier pigeons. He's like, this is the internet, baby. I'm like, oh, well, not really, but, like, okay.
The funny thing is, ambulance was still kind of awesome.
It was like very simple. I really enjoyed Ambulance. I appreciate it.
Like, of all the recent... Like, if we're talking about recent things he's done, I think Ambulance is, like, leagues better than everything else he's done. Like,
well, okay.
13 hours. Yeah, but for what he is, though, like, no one... If you step into a Michael Bay movie and you go, oh, this is going to transcend the year. I mean, you know what you're expecting of Michael Bay, so I'd at least rather, like, live up to, like, the fun action standards. It's because Six Underground was just... Oh.
So fucking mess.
So stupid. Or 13 Hours. Is that, that's one of my favorite movie titles in the last 20 years. 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Oh, so stupid.
Oh, I speaking of Office Jim, I watched the entirety of the Jack Ryan series on Prime, which I've been holding off on forever because, like, I hear mixed things all the time. First season's awesome. Second season sucks. Third season, pretty good again. It's like a solid, like, turn off your brain sort of thing to have on in the background. So, giving it a recommend. Just, you don't need the second season. You'll be fine.
I also finished Banshee, Ken Jack.
Banshee Rock. Great ending, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, the show itself, very stupid, but like I said, a lot of sex, full on sex, just cheeks getting clapped every episode.
Now you got to watch Warrior.
Really good action.
You got to watch really Warrior now on HBO because that's like the same people that made Banshee. Really good show. Much better.
Also, I'm going to a screening tomorrow night and, afterwards, our boy Jesse Eisenberg's doing a little Q&A.
Is it that show he's in?
No, it's the...
the movie he's directing, right?
Yeah, the one with...
Finn Wolfhard.
The one with Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
What's the show he's in?
It's Fleischman's in Trouble.
Fleischman's in Trouble.
Mm-hmm. It's about the barbershop that people at Barstool go to. Such a deep cover. I'm not even going to fucking explain that.
That's where I go.
I've been rewatching Sopranos, by the way, which is always just a great decision.
Fun time.
Just always a good call. Can't go wrong. I actually didn't mean to do that on the anniversary of it, but I was like, oh, this ended up being very good timing. All right. I think that's it for really news. We'll slice in some Mando if we have to, but let's start out. What do we want to do first? We want to start with Otto. I feel like Otto is boring. So let's just talk about Otto.
Yeah, let's get Otto out of the way.
A Man Called Otto. Again, based on a book. There's another movie that came out like 5-6 years ago, maybe less. I actually thought it came out this year. I completely just whiffed on that. Synopsis for the movie. Stars Tom Hanks. When a lively young family moves in next door, grumpy widower Otto Anderson. Mr. Anderson meets his match in a quick-witted pregnant woman. I can't read Marisol, leading to an unlikely
bizarre way to describe the movie.
Yeah, he's an old grumpy man.
Yeah,
and he's not liking life. Life stinks. He does not. Life's not good for him. There's a pretty massive change. Again, I watched the other one. There's a fairly like large change in how the movie's presented from this. Ending kind of the same, but how this movie is presented compared to the Swedish version, which is, I guess the original is what you would call it. Directed by Mark Forster. who directed a completely random assortment of movies.
Chris yeah. so Robin, funny, his filmography. It's insane.
World War Z, Quantum of Solace, Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, which I really like. Yeah.
Monsters Ball.
Hell yeah, horny ass movie. Sad movie too.
Yeah, so he did those. Tom Hanks, most recognizable person in this movie. By far, he's the main guy, the main cat. Another movie was his third movie of the year. How many did he do this year? Elvis, Pinocchio, Elvis.
Yes, correct.
I mean, it's not. I don't think this is like an. I think two things. One, I don't think this is like awful. It's not like the worst thing I've ever seen by any stretch of the imagination. There are people who are watching this who may love this movie, and I hope you don't aren't offended by it. There are people who are going to go see this, and they're going to have an absolute great time with this. This is if you took This Is Us and Tom Hanks and put it in a blender and made a movie. This is a fucking cry porn movie. And I only think that even more after having seen the other one, because this one just hits you right in the face in the beginning. They're like, this guy wants to kill himself. Sorry, that's spoiler alert. The other one, like,
yeah, five different times, bro.
The other one, it's done in reverse. And again, I'm spoiling a little bit. The change in how the first one's presented, just so you have, if you care for context, it opens up more about what he lost. And like how he is broken as a man, and like his heart, and all that. And that I just think is significantly less manipulative. This just feels like manipulative This Is Us cry porn. I think it's completely fine. Actually, I think he does a decent job in it. I think the trailers make it. I think the trailers make it seem like a really bad performance from him. I don't know why. Maybe it's like just a little like angry old man.
I don't mean
snippets.
That racially.
but like, also this is just Gran Torino minus the racism. He kind of hates everyone for no real bad reason, but. I think Tom Hanks is fine. It's a completely just below average movie for me, 66. But I'm telling you, you might be listening to this and you may go see it and you may fucking love it. Like, I know that's the case. And I don't really have a problem with that. This is just not my thing. To me, it's manipulative cry porn. And watching the other one, like, I even feel that more so. Like, this was just redone because Americans like to fucking cry and have shit spoon fed to them. So that's my take on Otto, Ken Jack.
I will respect the character of Otto in that he is such a wife guy that when his wife died, he tried to kill himself like 500 times. But then he's even so much more of a wife guy that he realized it's not what his wife would have wanted. So respect to the character of Otto.
Double wife guy.
Yeah, just like he was such a wife guy. He had to go peel back the layer of his wife guydom and go into the next layer. But I think this is just like the most 65 overall movie that's ever existed. Like, doesn't do anything well, doesn't surprise you at all. And it's just, but it's like, it's inoffensive. It's so inoffensive. It's just like, it's very hard to despise anything about it other than the fact that it's over 2 hours long. Like, that to me was the only big issue with it.
So like, long.
This is an so hour long. And a half.
Especially because there's a part where you legitimately think it's about to end too. And it goes on for another 30 minutes. Yeah.
That's the thing too, is like if you shave half an hour off this, like I think you can hit all the main points of the movie and it would be more enjoyable. I agree with you. I think Hanks was definitely fine, right? Like Hanks was like solid in the role. I think a different older actor could have like done better with that role. I think they were probably in between when they were casting this, right? Like, well, when you get Tom Hanks, like you obviously say yes no matter what, but I feel like they had to maybe mold this into being funnier than they wanted it to be, if that makes sense, because of him. Cause like you think of like other older dude performances that crush us. Like what's his name in, A Star Is Born, Sam, whatever.
Sam Elliott. Oh, fuck. Yeah. He's good. Yeah.
Like there's other older actors that I think would have done better in this role if they took it in that direction, like more like the Swedish movie or all that. But, it's too long. It's just does nothing for me, like on any real level, but it also doesn't like, again, it's just inoffensive. I think the worst part of the movie was the flashbacks where they had Tom Hanks' son, real life son, Truman, which by the way, this motherfucker, Tom Hanks, is so obsessed with World War II. He named his kid Truman, which like, dude, get a new hobby. The flashbacks were just like felt so long and so overdone, and they had a purpose, right? Like they serve the plot, but like, it just felt like they went on forever and it took away from the better part, which was Tom Cruise interacting with his neighbors and the kids and all that.
Tom Cruise.
This would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
But he's wearing his getup from Collateral. Like, that's how they make him look old.
He's got the big white wig on. I will say for this movie, I think that we should probably stop Hollywood from adapting Scandinavian movies on a whole. There's just a not particularly great track record. Like the best you could probably get out of them is like the Dragon Tattoo movies. Yeah. Like they're probably the closest to being the best. Then like Insomnia, solid. The Killing, not American version, is not as good. The Force Majeure to Downhill conversion was holy shit, dude. That was so bad. And the original is so good. Like The Guilty was fine, but the original version was better. Another Round, they're doing the American remake of that. I'm sure that's gonna be terrible.
That sucks.
It makes no sense because it's so culturally wrapped up in the culture.
Denver. The little Americanisms they're going to do with that are going to be so. I mean, I don't know because Leo's still attacked, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, but there's just no way that's going to turn out good.
Some pause, but like, there's going to be little American changes, and there's going to be
they're going to be cringe. They're going to be crushing. They're just going to be crushing Natural Lights.
Yeah, Natty Lights and Bush Light. But other than that, just like I think we got to get a cut off the spigot of Scandinavian adaptations because they just have such a particular like vibe to them. I think they just need to be left alone. But otherwise, Man Called Otto, inoffensive. If like you're looking for a movie to go to with like your parents or something, I'm sure they'd love it. You know what I mean? This is a movie that I could see my mom loving. Although my mom actually hates Tom Hanks, big Tom Hanks hater. I don't know why. Yeah. Despises him.
My mom's a hater too. I don't know what it is.
Weird. But I feel like parents on a whole would like this movie more than people closer to our age.
Yes.
But yeah, like Jeff said, cry porn. Other than that, not much to say on it, you know? Pretty boring.
I went earlier today and I'm nursing the hangover from last night's win, and there was a woman behind me in the row directly behind me, sobbing from minute one to minute way too long. I mean, it was awful. It was, I mean, I don't mean to hold that against the movie, but fuck, it was terrible. The movie really does, like Jeff said, it's just trying to make you cry. It'll, every 10 minutes, it would deliver something that was meant to make you cry very clearly. And then it would be like 10 more minutes of schmaltz, like just schmaltz, the schmaltziest schmaltz, like This Is Us, Ted Lasso ass shit. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, it might work if you do that like three times, but they do that like 20 times in this movie. And he won't fucking die.
Yeah, dude. That's he's invincible.
I don't mean to be a dick, but the whole time, like, because you get so bored of the movie, you're like, God, I wish he would just fucking die already. Like, I really wish he would just die. And he keeps having, like, these little, like, false alert, like, oh, his heart's about to give out. And then you're like, oh, no, not this time. Yeah. It's like, dude, just do it on the first time. Just have him die on that sidewalk. Like,
he went down the road, too. He never tried one way twice. He just, like, went down every single, like, way you could do it. It's crazy.
I like that the movie's main thesis was that a busty Latina can save a man's life,
which is true. It took him some time to get into it, but he finally got there.
Oh my God.
Otto, his search history during those few days must have been interesting.
Oh my God.
Busty pregnant Latinas. He's like, I gotta kill myself. I gotta wipe this browser history before I go, though. And then he's like, his heart attack is finally happening at the end, and he's just like, no, I forgot. I didn't wipe it.
Dude. The flashbacks also, I think, unforgivable. Like that.
So
the movie actually could have probably gotten into the 80s if they made a few changes. One of them being just. There should not be. How many flashbacks do you think there were?
Well, that's
not
the other one.
At least half a dozen.
Yeah. The other one is very flashback heavy, but that's like the narrative. That's the way the story is. Where this one, it feels like they didn't want to fully commit. Like, so it just kind of pops it. Like, there's the way it's presented is very different. And flashbacks are a very heavy part of the way the story is told in the other one. And for this, it just didn't work. I don't know.
Also, like the bit about him, like, just ending a friendship because his buddy wouldn't stop getting Ford cars. Like, what?
That whole side plot, which ended up kind of becoming the main plot by the end of the movie, I thought was lame. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also loved him being like very open to like the trans character, like very like open arms to him. And then the lady's husband said he liked pink and like he looked like he was about to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
He's like, can't do feminine things, but I'm open to trans people.
Yeah. Very consistent. They're
the most confused, like, liberal leaning person in the world.
So what do you give this, Andrew?
It's like a 60. I mean, Tom Hanks, I think, is actually not even just average at this movie. I think he's quite good. Like, he didn't have a ton to work with, but I think he's
okay.
He delivered a good Tom Hanks performance. He needed it too. He needs to get in a good movie is what he needs. But This is a major step up from what we saw in Pinocchio and the Snowman. No. Elvis. The Snowman.
So stupid.
I mean, Pinocchio was like, he had two roles here that are like almost career ending roles if he isn't Tom Hanks. Yes. Like, that's how bad
if he, yeah, yeah, if he wasn't. Yeah. He's got tenure. Yeah. Okay. I think I might like this a little bit more than you guys do. Part of it is I'm fascinated by it because this is the most mismarketed movie to me that I've seen in a long time. If you watch the trailers for this, I thought, you know, you guys talked about other actors that could have played this role. I thought it was going to be one of those like De Niro comedies that I hate, like The Internship or something, where it's, oh, zany comedy of wacky old grandpa who's, you know, got this hard exterior, but by the end, you know, he learns to appreciate the people around him. There's four suicide attempts in this movie. Like, all the funny stuff that is shown is the first 5 minutes of the movie, and it's in the trailer. So I was kind of taken aback by, this might be a strong word, by how bold it was. Just the fact, like, wow, this is so not the movie I expected. One massive, you know, problem, and I think it's why they cast Tom Hanks, who's typically very likable, is his character in the first 20 minutes is just the biggest cunt. I mean, just the worst type of human. Like, the opening scene of the movie is him being a complete asshole to, you know, the person behind the register, and as somebody who worked in, you know, customer service for a long time, I was like, no, I already hate this guy. Like, let him kill himself. Jesus. I appreciated the fact that, I mean, I don't know what it's like in the original, but this character is, like, very clearly on the spectrum of some sort. I mean, like, just full on, this guy. And that's not an insult. It's true. Like, he's got his routines. He loves his numbers. And he loves, you know, he's got his special interests. And that was, you know, he seems to be socially awkward as shit around these people.
Very fascinating.
So I kind of got endeared to that element of the story. But ultimately, like, this – everybody over the age of 70 is going to love this movie. I think,
yes,
like, this is the, you know what movie this was, it was making me think of, what was the name of that movie with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart that came out a few years ago where Bryan Cranston played
the one where he's in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like an unfortunate guy or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, I remember my mom and all of her friends loved that movie. That same audience is going to love this film. So it's one of those movies. It's such a game.
Yeah.
The upside.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that's so, I love this word, so milquetoast.
Yeah.
That
hell yeah.
Its flaws aren't even like enough to get upset about. It has like this weird shield over it where it's like, is it really worth getting angry at? So it's a 60 for me. Like, it could have been worse. It doesn't aim high at all. And ultimately, if there's one thing I really didn't like, I thought the very final resolution was so cornball, man. Like, just so okay boomer, you know. And a weird Mike Birbiglia cameo too, in the last third of this movie. So yeah, I think there will be people that enjoy it. It's completely inoffensive. So yeah, that's
it. I do like this movie a lot better than the movie that was marketed in the trailers.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
That was like, what are we doing? I don't know why they did that, to be honest, but yeah, this is a lot better than what I was expecting. I'll give it that.
I'm with you. Yeah.
They had like a lot of Gran Torino moments where my favorite was when he saves the guy from killing himself off the train and he sees everyone filming it, like the dude on the tracks, and he's like, oh, come on, people, or something like that. Like, yeah. Classic old guy bit to throw in the movie to get the olds going nuts. But yeah, very, it is like we said this, I remember too, when they had their first trailer for it and everything, that it was just PG Gran Torino. It really was, like, structurally, everything about it was just Gran Torino with a grumpy old man. Like,
kind of darker, though. It's kind of darker. I mean, him trying to kill himself is a lot darker than anything in Gran Torino, in my opinion.
The difference is Gran Torino, to me, had some funny bits in it, too. I mean, just because Clint Eastwood was so racist and he enjoyed it so much. I was just like, this is actually, you know, isn't there a moment in that movie, maybe I made it up, where he's like, black guy walks into a bar and the bartender says, get the fuck out. Like, he just,
something like that,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like totally brutal. Talk about a movie that couldn't get made today, but bizarre film, Man Called Otto. I mean, we're all gonna forget we saw this next week. I mean, it's not a memorable movie at all.
Crazy
right in one ear out the other, if you have to ask me anyway.
All people are gonna
How'd they get Rachel Keller to do this, by the way? In like, weird role for her,
barely even a role. Like, it's like she's on the screen
she's not a nobody actress, and they got her in there acting across from Tom Hanks' third known son, like his least well-known son.
By the way, they used his, yeah, Tom Hanks' real son, obviously, but they also used like digital de-aging. They used like his face composite from The Burbs for like one random scene. It's like, well, if you're going to commit to using the younger actor instead of doing a digital de-age, yeah, like what the fuck?
Only afford it for one scene. I was thinking that the whole movie.
If you don't have the budget, don't even bother. Just have the kid do it.
Because I know. Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, no, I appreciated it for a second because I'm like, oh, God, thank God they're not using the stupid de-aging thing. But then they used it in that one scene. Yeah.
Also, wild. No offense to Truman, but why not get Colin Hanks? The one that looks like
him. I have no
clue. Yeah. Yeah.
He's too old, I guess, because he was playing like a 20-year-old
too
or
famous.
Something. He's like, he's got to be like mid-30s by now. And like that, he was supposed to be like, I don't know, 20, something like that.
I mean, Truman didn't look like him at all.
No, it's not at all. Though Chet Hanks being it would be very funny. That would have been
Chet Hanks being it would have been hilarious.
No accent. They should have an accent of Chet Hayes and Austin Butler. Like, I would love that.
So I think what we're going to do next week will probably be Plane.
Hell yeah.
Have you guys all seen that?
Yeah. It's not as like negatively received as I thought it would be. No. It's fine. It's not as crazy as it should be.
Yeah, that's the biggest takeaway. I remember, I think Robbie and Fights, who had both seen it earlier, they said, like, we expected it to be like White House or, well, you know, Olympus Has Fallen or whatever. Like, they expected it to be like that, and it wasn't that crazy or like Den of Thieves crazy or whatever. It's just like a good action movie.
That'll make for an interesting review because I think I liked it more than all you guys did.
I still haven't seen it, but should we try and get to The Whale at some point before it starts its little Oscar campaign?
I mean, The Whale is still not even close to wide, right?
Mm.
No, I saw it in Lansing, so it's definitely expanding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do The Whale. We'll do a lot of the Oscar ones we haven't maybe talked about, but The Whale we'll definitely talk about.
Let's talk about BetterHelp. This show is sponsored by our good friends over there. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're showing up not in the way you really want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws at you. Whether or not you've been to therapy personally, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, I think it helps everybody. You could be in a good place, bad place. It'll help you no matter what. If you're thinking about giving the therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I used BetterHelp over the pandemic, helped when I couldn't get to my actual physical therapist. It was awesome, really, really easy to use as well. Like I just mentioned before, that questionnaire just gets everything matched up right away. If you want to live in a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/lights today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lights.
All right, The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us, based on the very popular video game from producers Neil Druckmann, who, invented the fucking game, basically.
Game director.
Craig Mazin, though, is the TV guy attached to it. Also a movie guy, but Craig Mazin's a weird cat because Craig Mazin's credits are insane.
It's Scary the best
Movie
one,
3
I think.
And 4, Superhero Movie, Hangover Part 2, Hangover Part 3, The Huntsman, Winter's War, all writing credits, and then just Chernobyl.
Yeah, which is like the best miniseries ever made.
Also hosted with Damon Lindelof, the post-Watchmen podcast for HBO, and it was fucking amazing.
It was really good.
Incredible companion if you rewatch or see for the first time Watchmen. And obviously Chernobyl was a massive hit.
Chernobyl's fucking amazing.
It's the best miniseries probably ever.
Yeah.
So, I gotta come clean, guys. I've never watched Chernobyl.
You won't regret it. It's
just one of those things you gotta be in the right mindset to watch a nuclear disaster take place.
Like, I definitely do. And they don't shy away in that if I show none. Either. Holy shit.
Oh, that one dude.
He had a bad day.
Actually, that dude plays the spy in Andor, like the one that works for Stellan Skarsgård, who was also in Chernobyl.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I'll do it this week.
The Last of Us. How many episodes is The Last of Us going to end up being?
Thought it was 8, but
yeah,
might be more. I don't know.
8 2-hour episodes.
But it's a very long episode. So,
directed by Craig Mazin. Big first episode. They basically combined, instead of doing two episodes, prologue and then where we are in present day, they did They just kind of jam packed it together. I have not played the game. I'm same. Very aware of the game. I think Chris, you're in the same boat.
Yeah.
But Ken Jack, I know you've played it for sure, and Gooch, you've played it, right?
Yep.
So very different because I don't know what happens. There's a large assumption at the beginning of the show what was going to happen, but I don't know what happens, and I'm not going to figure out what happens. But from everything I've been told, it's very one for one so far.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I loved it. Like I was completely captivated by it. The beginning was fucking amazing. That prologue was unreal. Abs just threw into the world and built everything up that I think you needed to have built up to like understand the dread and, you know, the emotion and like what's impacting Pedro Pascal's character, Joel. And then anyway, I know what to expect. So I was completely thrown into it and fucking loved it. It's long. It's an hour and 20 minutes, two episodes basically combined into one, which is what, by the way, it's what Andor should have done. I think from the beginning, which is how they kind of marketed it anyway, but I don't know why. Just adapt, just do that. Just make it one long thing. But I thought it was great so far. Like, but I don't know. Like, see, that's the thing. I don't know if I played the game and it's one for one, would I be amped up about it? I don't know.
They added stuff in, especially in that initial prologue that really heightened the game. Like you don't spend that much time with his daughter in the game. Like you play as her for 10
20
minutes.
Seconds, 20 seconds, dude, like barely walk through the house and then it's done.
Yeah. Really? Okay. So getting to spend more time with her really added to the emotional weight of his loss, and he killed it. When you get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the show just has like so far perfect execution because the one for one is the only way you could do the this series, I think, because it's such a cinematic series on its own. It's like the most cinematic game that's ever existed, one of my favorites of all time. And I think doing that one for one with having like a few original bits that are like existing in the periphery of like that main sort of like storyline of like doing the shot for shot thing, I think was brilliant. One of the crazier scenes from the game was that camera shot from inside the truck. Where like all the shit's going down and you're rotating around, you're seeing all these things happen. And like you in the game, like you're using the analog to like look around at shit. And like they do it for you with the camera. It was fucking awesome that they nailed that because that was a scene that was so important in the beginning. They expanded on that opening prologue a little bit, which I thought was cool because like you really kind of, because they know gamers are impatient. They're just like, you hit that prologue, get that little emotional attachment to Joel and his daughter, and then you move straight on. This gave you like a little good combination of both, and which is like you were saying, it was smart because that prologue is important for like the emotional attachment to the character of Joel, but like you also need to build out the world that you are going to be seeing in the rest of this series. And they did half and half. Tension was on point. As someone who played the game, like I know what's coming, and I was still like on the edge of my seat, like holy shit, especially because like you know, like in that first prologue scene, like you know, like all the shit that's going to go down. I was still like waiting. Like you feel that air of tension for everything to start going down. I thought that was awesome. Really good ending to the episode. And so far, I think Bella Ramsey is doing a really good job as Ellie because that is nearly impossible shoes to fill because it's like a fully grown adult voice actress voicing a teenager. And she just is a teenager that doesn't have like some giant volume of experience. And like, obviously you need the actual performance aspect of it. And I think she's doing a good job so far. Obviously we'll see further on. And Pedro Pascal, fucking awesome Joel. Perfect Joel.
Dude, perfect Joel.
It kind of made me want Mando to be helmetless a little more this season, which not the whole time, but like, because I remembered, like, I was thinking of my favorite episodes of Mandalorian were from season two, and the Bill Burr episode, I think, is maybe my favorite. The samurai one's pretty great, but God, them together was so good. And he was helmet off that whole episode for the most part.
Yeah. And you get like, he's such a good actor at like showing off like pain in his face. You know what I mean? I feel like he always has had that really well.
Oof. I watched Chris Stockman's quick reaction to this, and he brought it up. He's like, Pedro Pascal, he's got this really unique ability to just stare and you can just feel everything he's feeling.
Yeah. Like Pattinson's like that too, where you act with your eyes. Yeah.
Oh, it's Kid Jack, how do you feel? And another thing that most of the people who play the game will notice is they did make slight changes to the Ellie character. She is a little bit more rough around the edges in the game. She's
a dick in the beginning. She's a dick in the beginning of the game. Like she's right in the start, she's a dick.
Like, this is more rebellious, maybe. Whereas in the game, she's just a little bit more bratty and innocent. Like, her pulling out that switchblade was...
I think she does that to Joel in the game, if I remember correctly. Like, she and Joel...
She does it to the guard.
Yeah, she and Joel butt heads a lot in, like, the beginning of the game, which I think is what they're going for, at least for the start. And especially, that's another moment I think they handled pretty well, was the, like, the moment that they find out that she's infected. Like, that moment in the game was, like, a lot of tension as well, because, like, like, kind of booting off the entire story. And I think they handled that pretty decently. And they're obviously, at least I think, going to start this next episode addressing that more, which will be super cool. I'm really pumped up to see where they go next, because, like, I know it's coming, but, like, the fact that they did it so well in this pilot, keeping you intrigued even as, like, so many people have played this game, I think that's a great sign for going forward.
Chris, what do you think?
Everyone's waiting for, not you guys, everyone's waiting for me not to like this. I think this is excellent. I think it's a very, very well done show. I think that, you know, I had complaints before I even watched it about the length, and I stand by that. I think 90-minute episodes kind of bizarre. That, who cares? Who gives a shit? It really well done. I mean, great acting all around. Just, it gets right what a lot of these shows that we've reviewed so far, in my opinion, haven't gotten right, which is you really hone in on the characters, and you really like Joel, and you really like Pedro Pascal, and it's tense as shit. I mean, you can tell... you can really tell that this was a great game, because you can see the moments in which, like, man, if there's one minor complaint, I feel like it probably works better as a game. Cause I'm like, especially during that opening prologue sequence, I'm like, man, I want to give me my PlayStation controller. Like, I want to, you know, this is an awesome action sequence. It's a wonderful setup. Thought the prologue was easily the best part of the episode, which does worry me a little bit. I thought that they knocked that out of the park so much. The second half was just kind of okay. The only other minor complaint, and this isn't even really a complaint, it's more of an observation, but there's a 20-year time jump, and all they did was, like, put a little bit of gray in Pedro Pascal's hair. He looks no different at all.
Right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's, you're right about that.
But just sadder. What's that?
He's just more sad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because when it said 2003, and I don't know anything about this game, I'm like, oh, it takes place in 2003. That's neat. And then it's like 20 years later. I'm like, okay. But that's not even a complaint. It's just a little observation. Very well done. It's so, like, it's above surface level, but it's just so, like, consistently good that it's hard to even, like, overly praise it or criticize it. It's just, you're watching it the whole time, and you're like, oh, that was a good scene. That was a good scene. I guess the one question, because I do at some point want to play this game. Mm-hmm. Is the dialogue more or less lifted from the game, or are there kind of a lot of creative liberties?
I wouldn't say, like, the shots are one for one. I wouldn't say that the dialogue is necessarily one for one. They kept, like, the really important lines, but I don't. Okay. I'd have to, like, replay it, like, more recently to have known it. But, like, I remember some of the big lines, but I think they kind of, like, went in other directions than the other one, which is fine. That's not, like, a huge deal.
No, and that's not a complaint. It's that it's actually a compliment, because it's very well written. So I was like, and that's the one issue with video games, is, like, yes, a lot of them look really cinematic and have cool action sequences. A lot of them, like, if you translated the dialogue to film or television, is kind of lame, like cornball, you know, dude, whatever.
You're going to love playing The Last of Us, because, like, that game is like you're playing a movie. Like, and the dialogue is awesome in so many different moments. Great lines.
That's great then. So, yeah, no, I'm on board for this for sure going forward. I mean, it's a very unique premise. A lot of tense action, great acting. I mean, I think that this definitely delivered on what was promised. I think if you're a fan of the game, I mean, I can't imagine you not freaking out about this. I mean, they really took this seriously. This is a huge budget for this show. So,
production value is crazy.
Yeah, they did it right. Yeah.
It reminded me, this pilot episode reminded me of The Lost Pilot, where it's like just enormous production value, long runtime, immediately thrown into the disaster, and you kind of get a feel of where this world is. Like, it did a lot of those things. And that's, I know some people have feelings about Lost. That's one of the greatest pilot episodes of all time.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So for that comparison, like, that's...
The beginning is... Hold on, sorry. that's as good of a start to any series I've ever seen.
Lost? Think,
like, no, this The Last of Us. Like, I think that opening was... That was not my concern, but that was like, I'm like, all right, am I going to care as much as someone who, you know, is going in and watching... You know, like when I watch a Star Wars or Marvel thing, they're like, it's something that, like, I don't know. I like shit that I don't have pre-existing fandoms of before. But, like, this is one of those things where it is a fandom thing. Like, it's people like the game. So I was like, all right, like, how are they going to, like, draw me in? And, I mean, I was like, I legitimately don't think you could have done anything better. And it started technically, technically started with Josh Brenner, aka Baghead from Silicon Valley. Nelson.
Yeah,
Baghetti.
That was crazy. That was an addition. That wasn't in the game. Seeing Baghetti was nuts.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Nelson that was cool Baghetti. Though. I really like that addition to the game. Hearing that conversation, that was super cool.
Because again, that sounds like it added good context too for like what this is and setting it all. And it was a really like, and it was tense. Like nothing was going to happen, but like there was something about it. It was a really cool way to start it.
It started like building the dread because you could tell that was where it was heading. And then like once you get into that prologue too, I like that it's in 2003 because they're not getting like all these updates on social media about the breakouts across the world. Like you can kind of just hear TVs in the background, like talking about, I think what's going on in Jakarta, I think is what they said. And you can kind of like just hear like, shit is starting to happen. They see planes going up, but like it's not right on top of them yet, but you could feel it coming. And there's like this just dread. And then it just finally happens and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. And I'll note for any of you that want to play the game, Naughty Dog put all the games on sale, I think, for the next couple of days.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. I still have never played two. So
two is not as good as one, but like it is like people said it was like it's terrible. I mean, it's a good game. It's a good ass game. Better than most of the games you're gonna play out there. Just not as good as the
first. They said like season, this might be a dumb question, that season one of this show is just like front to back the first game, or is it like half the first game, or do we not?
I don't know. No. I'm sure the information's out there, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine you just adapt the game, but I don't know. Maybe they, because this will get a season two. I mean, shit, this thing was huge last night. So,
yeah. There are scenes that I do not want to be done one for one from the second game.
Yeah,
there are moments
in
the second game
that
should not be one for one.
They said they're not going to, like expand past the story of where it's at now. Okay. They may make a third Last of Us and
the
story continues.
So, are they doing a third game?
Yeah, I think they announced that recently.
Yeah. And Druckmann
we
wrote all know
this
the greatest,
as well.
The greatest one-for-one video game to movie or TV adaption is Assassin's Creed. So,
see, I was going to say Rampage. The side-scroller.
Prince of Persia, baby.
Oh, man.
Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, there's so many bad ones.
Dude, it really is crazy that it's taken this long.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. A series is
even if this is successful. Sorry, say it again.
A series is just so much better than a movie for a video game adaptation, in my
opinion. I guess so. Yeah.
But even then, like, if this is good, can't you kind of asterisk this a little bit and be like, it was based off such a cinematic thing to begin with?
That's fair.
Like, definitely.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying they have an easy job here. I'm just saying it's almost like you're like, okay, they did it, but also, did they? Like, because now
the template was laid out for them in a way, like it was kind of set up for them to succeed.
We have
It really is true. Like me and Kendrick are not exaggerating. Like it is like easily the most cinematic. Like it's a beautiful movie that you play out. Like it really is. The only one that really comes close is I think Red Dead Redemption 2. Like that
would be the only one in
storyline and cinematic wise. Yeah, that'd be cool if HBO tried to do that.
Red Dead would be really cool, but that's so long, that story. Like you really would need to break that down. Like even both of them, both games, like you could break that down as seasons upon seasons.
It'd probably need 5 seasons. Yeah,
like we've all said, like the Call of Duty
would be as good as Halo. Right?
Fuck, man, Halo. Is there there's so many good factors in the Halo show, but the majority of it is so bad, and like. The fact that the dude who like made it or whatever is like, yeah, I never played them. I just thought they were cool. It's like, dude,
it started cool too. Like I liked the beginning of that show. Like it got gotten, but then it just
falls off a cliff, dude. And it's a nonstop helmet off page or Pablo Schreiber. Just woof, bad show.
Mario is going to be a pretty big moment for video game movies.
That'll be good.
Yeah, but that's like cheating when it's animated. That's cheating when you're animated, in my opinion.
That's true.
I feel like live action
is
our only deal here.
It just feels like they've adapted the wrong games. Like, how in the world has there not been a BioShock movie yet? How has there not been a Gears of War movie yet? Like, it's crazy. Coming.
Gears,
and that's
they've
been
working on that forever.
They've been trying to do that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Like, we always talk about, like, Call of Duty. Like, well, what if the Call of Duty movie? Like, yeah, like, you could base it off, like, a game or something, but...
Yeah.
Like, what if they just made a war
movie? Just do a war movie.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You don't need to call it Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what looks awful, speaking of games... Dungeon and Dragon. Actually, it doesn't look terrible, but that movie's going to lose $100 million at the box office.
It looks like dog shit.
Dude, it's got the one of the worst release dates I've ever, like, It's packed in March where there's already like three other big blockbusters. There's no shot people go out to see that movie.
Is D&D, like, in terms of both supply and demand, is D&D like in style still? Like, do people still play it?
Clue. People definitely still play it. Like, Joe Manganiello is like a dungeon master.
They got a lot of famous people in it too. What the fuck's Chris Pine doing in that movie?
The trailer was like kind of fun, right? Like, it's not saying to be good, but I remember the trailer was okay.
That trailer, it wasn't bad. It presented as the most like not impressive movie ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, you watch the trailer, you know exactly what you're getting front to back, and none of it is going to be excellent.
Dude,
the most 5 out of 10, like, yeah.
Well, listen to this. In the weeks before Dungeons & Dragons movie releases, they got John Wick Chapter 4, Shazam 65, that Adam Driver dinosaur movie, which looks fun.
I want that.
And Scream 6, and Creed 3. Like,
it's going to get murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's going to get crushed.
All right, well, that's it. Playing next week, which I'm excited to talk about, but like,
yeah,
I kind of wanted it to be like so much more ridiculous, but it's still fun to talk about. It's a fun, like,
yeah,
it's a fun type of movie that we don't probably get enough of, and it kind of got funny like social media hype, so it's worth talking about.
Did it do well?
People love it.
Yeah,
Let's see what the plenty count is retweeting. They've been like retweeting, like everybody like praising it and shit, which like that they'll have that for any dog shit movie. But still, like Gerard Butler's been getting like all this crazy hype over it. He loves it.
Which do you think made more this weekend? A Man Called Otto or Plane?
Plane.
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 This is saying A Man Called Otto.
Oh, wow. Boo.
I was putting in this fucking ticket for Man Called Otto.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe Mando trailer was cool. Maybe it wasn't. If it was cool, we probably would have dropped something in. If not, I don't know. Still excited for it. Very excited for Mando, actually. Still ways away. Still kind of like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
When does it release?
Month and a half. Which we haven't done Mando on Wednesday nights, by the way. Because the Wednesday release on those Disney Plus shows was so much better. Because it seemed like a shorter distance. But like, I'm very excited for
it. I just wish they would do it at night. So people can like, it'd be so fun to live tweet that shit. Like,
yeah.
I know that sounds like such a stupid social media thing, but like,
no, it is cool, true. Yeah.
It's fun to talk about stuff live.
One of the fun things with HBO shows is like that HBO Sunday night slot when it's
at least
it's
midnight, like right,
yeah,
like, at least midnight or 10, like yeah.
That's part of the fucking part of like the hype engine of Game of Thrones is so tied into its release time and everyone talking about it. I feel like it would be so beneficial for them, but whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
All right, that's it for Ken, Jack, Chris, Gooch. I'm Jeff Lill. We'll talk to you next time.
See you later.
Have a good week at the box office, folks. We'll be right back.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode releases 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.